transition to kind of the opposite, humility a little bit, but I do want to recap a little bit we touched base on and cover a few more that I found here. And I'm sure there's plenty more. And as you look at Scripture, you'll see that pretty much a lot of problems people have, saved and lost, there's pride attached to it some way, you know, and sometimes we don't even realize it, but when we look at examples of the Lord Jesus Christ, of Paul, and we go, hey, wait a minute here, you know, and then we kind of get that resolve a little bit and we grow. So let's give you a little recap. A lot of it I looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, the great example we have, how he didn't have pride in areas of his birth and of wealth and monies. He could have had those things and respectability, personal appearance. Didn't have any pride of personal appearance, reputation, independence, learning, intellect, superiority. You know, I have all these skills, not able to do it. You know, kind of interesting. I was listening to Newsmax, and they had, you know, Michelle Obama on, and or Michael Obama, whatever it is, and she's just so passionate. My kids, they're driving now, and I'm so afraid that, you know, they could get stopped. They're black people here, you know, and you know, they can get stopped. I'm so afraid of them. I mean, you know, that's a pride, and there's a liar, of course, you know, but just trying to bring that into light. I'm sure they have had bodyguards all these years. They live in a $14 million palace in Martin Vineyard, I think it is. And you can know that these kids know how to act. People that get trouble, you know, there's no epidemic, please, is they don't know how to act. They ain't walking around with joints hanging out. She mentioned something about they drive around listening to loud music. Well, you know, they ain't listening to Amazing Grace or How Great Thou Art. It's probably some African music. I thought of that, came to mind. You can take the monkey out of the jungle, but you can't take the jungle out of the monkey. That just came to my mind when I heard that, or blasting that rock music, you know. That's what kind of what that is, you know. That's a real good study. I get off a tangent. The study of music. That's a very good study, because where do things come from? That kind of sees where it develops. So you can see, even here in pride of unsaved, you know, we're better or you're better. All that is pride. And that's not only from the loss. It's from the saved. I had some actual examples of some pride issue. I was in my old church. We had an evangelist come by. His name is Mike Schrock, a nice guy. He plays a trombone. In fact, if you go online, he has his Mike Schrock trumpet. Excellent. He's a concert pianist. He's the campus evangelist for Bob Jones University. So he came over for a day evangelizing, just to chuck it off on another thing. We had evangelists over, and there was a Saturday morning or afternoon breakfast and things, and I go, hey, Brother Schrock, you play that trumpet pretty good. What are you doing tonight? Why are you asking? I go, well, you know, tonight is in Bolingbrook, the Bolingbrook Festival. And thousands of people come out, and I got a spot right in front. They have to come through us. And you see the way you're looking at it. And you can play the trumpet, and I'll preach, or you can take turns preaching. We got signs with the tracks. It's like sticker shock. You know, you see, it's a pride of reputation. See, the pride of education. Me do that, I go, don't worry about it. I got a letter from the mayor of Bolingbrook on his letterhead to the police department saying we have freedom, because in 1999 we had some trouble and we wrote a letter and actually got back, and we have freedom there. I mean, it's nice to have freedom. It's nice. I mean, and thousands come by, and I go, give me your number. And first he goes, oh, no, I have no car. I'll pick you up. You know, trying for an excuse. This is evangelist. You know, there's always pride. Well, give me your number. I'll call you. No, I'll take your, give me my number. Now, think he called? No, of course not. But it's okay. That day in church, I go, hey, Mr. Evangelist, where were you? And I get, you know, though, when people won't look in the eye, right in the eye, young people, or some of my people here, young people, but though, look people in the eye. And you can tell they're lying right there. Their eye is one of their soul. When you look people in the eye, they'll tell you right where they are, you know? So he, you know, he kind of felt cheapest. He goes, well, next time. Okay. Well, sure enough, a year later, he's come by again. You know, so it was a Saturday, and so I call the pastor, hey, let me have Mike Schrock's number. The same he comes by the same time, the big event out there, the whole nine yards. Let me have his number. What do you have for? Well, I want to invite him out to the preaching and right here at Bolingbrook. Well, they wouldn't give it to me. They gave it to me, the other pastor is with. So I go, hey, Pastor Jack, where's Mike Schrock at? They're having a same event here in Bolingbrook. He said this time, so I'm just following up. Well, we're already out with the teens doing things. I go, bring the teens along at night. What example? And, you know, I'll have him call you. Of course, he didn't call me. And they're out with the teens was a go-kart riding around, you know? And but what though? That's just a believer that has pride in education, status. See out there, you know, it's kind of sad, you know? And I saw him before and at the church, and he's like, kind of, when he looked me in the eye, I go, hey, what happened to you? And I have a nice attitude about it. I got kind of a smiley face. I never put my finger, you know? I go, hey, what happened? And, you know, couldn't say anything. I go, well, you know, when we have the altar call, remember, evangelist and pastor should be the first one hitting the ground sometimes. I smiled at him. He knew exactly what I was saying, you know? But it's this pride of sometimes you got a degree, education, you're fancy. You know what, though? I mean, that's what happens. It's all about sin. Remember, we talked about pride of success. Did you find the Timbo thing I gave? Find it, John? Tim Tebow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that, I'll give it to you, but if you got it, great. So we talked about the pride of success and the pride of ability. Talked about that, correct? I mean, how you can have pride in ability and resentment. By not having resentment, sanctity, self-will, and then I want to leave off right here, the pride of reserve. And this is kind of the last one I'll cover here. In Matthew 26:38, it says, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Luke 9:22, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of elders and the priests and scribes and be slain and raised the third day. Obviously, the Lord had no reserve with the one thing he could have no second chances on, his life. I mean, you can give a lot of things away. You know, you can give away. You have $1,000, you have $999, you still got a buck left, right? There's some reserve there. I'm saving a little bit. But when you give your life, that's it. So there's no reserve. That's an amazing thing. Philippians 2:6-11, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, kind of summing all this up, and was made in the likeness of man. So you know why? Oh, he was God. No, he was God came into man, so he had the same desire as we did. So he's supernatural. Yeah, he was, but he's still man. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Ain't that great for us? Even death of cross. You can't really get any more than that. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. See, God's exalting him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. That's showing those devils what's going on there. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord Jesus, who had the opportunity to have it all, he gave it all, his life. That is That is really humility. That is that's exactly what the Lord did. Many times we're tired. You know what we think? We think we've done enough. Oh, we've done enough. Or we did our fair share because we're looking at what? Ourselves or others. When you look at the Lord, the way, you know, as he walked and he had all these nice pride issues, we're looking at it and go, hey, follow his example. We are comparing ourselves to others, and that's can be prideful. You know, he don't do as much as I do, you know, and so we're comparing ourselves to someone else. You put the Lord Jesus Christ on the scale, and you put there, and we're most miserable. Amen? Now, kind of an application, I thought. Have any of you ever know who William Borden is? William Borden? If you ever want to get a book to read, I mean, I like a few of them, the William Borden story. Let me give you a little rundown of him and show you how a lot of these characteristics obviously fit in what his life is. William Borden was born in 1887, Chicago, right here, of the wealthy Borden family. You know, Borden Milk, this is the Borden Dairy Company, LLC the Cow. Remember that? Okay, it's still around today. When William was a young man, his mother became a believer. And then he started taking William to church, and he also became a believer. Now his dad, far as I know, never trusted the Lord. He was sent off to a Hill School, a boarding school in Pennsylvania for his education. Then at 16 years old, wasn't pretty smart to graduate, 16 years old, his parents gave him a trip around the world. Here's what happened on that trip. He was not on his own as a 16-year-old person. His mother, very wise lady, sent him with Walter Erdman, a minister and a missionary. So put him on with some good company. Get that? So always send people off some good company. They visited numerous countries, and along the way, Borden's calling became very clear. He would become a missionary. On that trip, he saw firsthand what was called heathenism. It goes on today. We kind of reclassify the words, you know, as, you know, illnesses, you know, or conditions, you know, all that, whatever, you know, entire people groups without gospel witness. This left a very strong impression on this young 16, 17 year old person who knew he wanted to give his life to missions. Now, when he returned to the United States in 1905, he went to Yale University. This is when they were, you know, strong. There is where he excelled in academics, in sports, and in athletics. He was a boxing team and was involved in yachting and engaged in tracks and field. Between his academic abilities, leadership skills, Borden clearly stood out in his family connections. Borden could have done anything in his life, but he remained committed to calling to missionary. Now, read the book. He's a good-looking guy. He's got physical abilities. Remember about pride? Physical abilities. He had leadership abilities. He had some dough. And what dough? But he still focused on missions. That's a good calling right there, you know. Look what happened to him. When he graduated from Yale, he knew he needed some additional education. Enrolled at Princeton Theological Seminary. And from 1909, 1912, this was still the conservative era of Princeton before the liberal takeover. He had J. Gresham Meacham as professor. And just, you know, he went to Moody Bible Institute, Borden, and that's when Schofield was there and Moody, so at a real tough time where they're getting good doctrine. And if you read the biography, interesting, it's a little side notes. He started a prayer meeting. Even back then, the university was a little bit liberal, and there was one person, him, then two, then five, and then over half the people were meeting for prayer. So one person changed the school at that time. It's amazing. You read, very interesting. Show you how, you know, you and the Lord can do great things. When he graduated in 1912, he was ordained and came under direction of the China Inland Mission. That's Hudson Taylor's group in China. He spent a few months in New York City working with some missions agencies and learned firsthand similar mission work. And then while he was there, at learning about missions in China, he found out about a people group of 10 million Muslims without the gospel witness in China. He goes, hey, I'm going to learn Arabic and minister to them. Talk about a tough job. So here you are. You're headed to China, foreign country, Muslims, they'll kill you out there, you know. And I got to learn Arabic. But he was born, was committed to that group and calling. He decided that he'd go to Cairo to learn Arabic so that he could minister to those Muslims in China. He left America in December 1912. And on March 21st, he was taken ill with spinal meningitis. And 19 days later, on April 9th, he died. Never made it to China. What we should note, that two things are important about his legacy. This has to do with pride. The first is his will. In his will, he left his entire fortune, over $1 million. Hey, in 1917, that's some real dough. You got $1 million a day, you got some money, that's compounded, it would be 15, 20 times that today. So he had some dough to Christian causes, but he also put in his will this specification. Let's just keep that in your mind. I'm an estate planner, and I see people do. Money should go to missionaries and teachers who are sound in the faith and believe the fundamentals, particularly the doctrine of the divine inspiration and preservation of the authority of Scripture. I like that. That guy had some backbone. The doctrine of the Trinity, including the deity of Christ, doctrine of atonement, substitutory death and blood, sacrifice of death of the Lord Jesus Christ. So obviously it's very specific, you know, thrown in at the, you know, the Red Cross. You know, I had a client come in Friday, Catholic. He worked a lot of money, 97 years old, and he's got just, now he's worth tens of millions of dollars. And so and all his kids are wealthy, they're all doctors, and he wants to, you know, do good, but he has, it's all just a general, this money, I want stuff to go to be, do good to the poor and needy, and just, you know, so, some benevolence, you know, I kind of sad, like throwing it in a kind of a rat hole, in my personal opinion, you know. Now here's the point I want to make here. The other piece of legacy was his Bible. When he died, his Bible was returned to his parents. When he opened it up, they saw on the fly leaf these words written by Borden. No reserves. Those were the words written over when he decided he would take up a role as missionary. And when he did that, his dad says, you can't come out of business if you do that. So obviously his dad's kind of pushing him, hey, if you do that, you can never come back in my business. You know, I had a lucrative business, obviously, you know. So he wrote, no reserves, okay? When he became missionary and decided to go to China, he wrote, no retreat. And during his illness, just before he died, he wrote these words, no regrets. You see that? No reserve, no retreat, no regrets. This guy knew some of these things about pride and humility, without a doubt. I mean, here's someone that had a lot of ability, good looks, physical abilities, leadership abilities, some resources, and focused some at a young age. And by the way, as the long story here is kind of a wasted life. Many people are motivated after what he did. I mean, a story came out, and many people took on mission. He goes, that guy can do that. Well, I mean, have these abilities. Boom. So, believer at a young age, folks who influenced him, vision of a need, personal benefits aside, a lot of that's being, you know, giving up that pride and being humility, and it cost him what? His life. Now, obviously, he didn't know that. He thought he's probably had his visions of going into China and Muslims and all that. But he went, though, hey, he had no regrets. You know why? Because just walk with the Lord. And it's a day-by-day-by-day deal. And no regrets. That's I thought it was very timely for us. We look at this message on pride and humility. Now, let's look at these verses here. I read you this Philippians, here it is, Philippians 2:6-11, just read that. But let me look at the verse above it. A lot of times you see something, and the prerequisite tells you why this happened. So in Philippians 2:1-5, it says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort and love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done in strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not everyone on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also Christ Jesus. That's the prerequisite to that first one I read. See that there? There's a prerequisite. You want to be the strong person. Well, you know, when it starts out, it starts right here in the mind, right? I mean, everything starts right in the mind. What's that verse there in Romans 12? That good and acceptable and perfect will be transformed by renewing the mind. See, it's always right here in the mind. That's why, you know, for the young folks, this the news media and the phones are just completely brainwashing the folks. We can see that. In fact, I've been to every Holocaust museum there is, the Holocaust Museum in Israel and Washington D.C. It's very interesting if I go there. What's interesting about it is they're all a little different, but you walk in and they have all the artifacts. What they have playing is the actual TV news blurbs as you go from the beginning all the way to the end. And the news media was brainwashing people back then. Oh, this put them over here. I mean, this is black and white 1940s. You know, I mean, nothing's really changed. Now we got the more shoes and the videos and the flashes and the media and all that. But they were brainwashed. Well, how could that happen? It happened over a period of time, kind of slowly. We're now at the new media. We're moving things quickly because of the media. Because now people had just a TV. Now we got the media's is instant. You know, it's like being instant in season, out of season. The devil's got his instant. In season nine, season two, his tricks. Remember, it's so close. Pastor Hoffman says it's so close, truth and there. He's like saying things. He can instantly get you all these brainwashings to mess up your mind. I mean, it's an amazing thing. So here in Philippians, before we read what the Lord did here in Philippians 2:6-11, we see the transforming the mind. He's telling us we can be the same way. That's why the Christian walk is a process. It's a process. Salvation's instant. A lot of fundamentalists mess up, take sanctification and separation, and which is separate than salvation. They're separate entities, right? You know, here's salvation, what Jesus Christ did, period. Well, if you ain't doing this, or you ain't like me, then you can't be saved. That's the pet peeve of some of the Christian groups. Well, you're not doing this. Well, wait a minute here. I mean, my salvation is based on the blood atonement, period, of Jesus Christ. That's one thing. Get that down. Well, the walk takes time. I mean, sometimes it takes longer than others. You know, that's where you have a little grace and truth coming, you know. And that's what happened, I think, with the William Borden. Now, he died before I got saved, in age-wise. I was quite a mature guy. At 16 years old, obviously seeing vision. At 16, I was a stinking knucklehead. You remember me? I was a stinking, man, think about a knucklehead. That was me. I mean, I just completely knew nothing. I mean, when you see kind of where you came from, you realize how grace of God is. I mean, I think we could save younger. You know, you don't realize what a blessing it is getting saved when you're younger. Raise up and, you know, my little girl, I mean, you know, I walked my girl on aisle. Hey, she never smoked, never drank. Was a virgin. That's quite a thing to do today. It wasn't easy, you know. A good-looking girl, I'd keep all the wolves away, kind of. You know what I mean? You know. So I mean, no one. I didn't have that on me. So hey, you know what though? The Lord kind of does some of those things, you know. Okay, so let me get back to my back into what I'm getting into here. If you study the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and his lack of pride, see that lack of it, in his ways and his humility, we see that we are, again, most miserable compared to ourselves. Now, side note, the Lord Jesus Christ was no wuss. And some of these things you see him on these shows, he's kind of a, you know, has his little robe on. He's kind of going like this, you know, and he seems like a little wuss. He was no wuss. Look here, 2 Peter 2:9, it says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, comma, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." You see that there? There is, you know, judgment. Hey, not only is it for the unsaved, but it's also for the saved. That's one thing we all have to face is judgment. Obviously, we're the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved. That's, you know, you hear this thing, two things are guaranteed in life are death and taxes. No, that's not true. You don't pay taxes, you can avoid taxes if you want. Maybe you get hassled and go to jail. And you may not die. The rapture, right? Right, right. So, I mean, that's just not for sure. Remember, without distinction, without exception, right? It's a distinction. But judgment is sure. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after it's a judgment. Now, side note, if you want to be technical, what do you do about kids that die? Are they going to judgment? That's another issue altogether. I mean, figure that one out. I mean, that could be the discussion. What do you do about kids born again? Are they saved under Old Testament rules, under grace? Hey, that's a whole nother discussion. But I mean, anyone that, you know, whoever comes to accountability, there is judgment for us. And that's a great motivator for the saint. We're going on judgment. We have the scripture. We see the examples. How are we applying them in our lives? And going to have to answer to the Lord. That's a great way of living. So, you know, one thing, are we ready? Now, let's transition here. Kind of, we've seen pride, I missed some recap here, you know, but now with the other side of the coin, I mean, opposite side of that would be humility. Now, there you go. Let's talk about humility. Humility, modesty, meekness, but humility is a good word. The word is, it's the queen of grace is humility. That's what the thought is. It does not seek the throne of eminence, but the throne is adorned by it. I like that saying. Eminent. So here's someone, you know, that may have some skills, kind of like skills, like the Lord Jesus Christ had all these benefits, didn't puff them out. Eminence, fame, recognized, important, influential, distinguished persons, renowned, notable, greatness, not being able to show it towards yourself. Even having some of those things, and sometimes we get skills and things that we have or some resources, we want to show up a little bit. Kind of interesting about that word, eminence. Who used that word? The Roman Catholic Church. We have His Eminence. If you're a cardinal, you have eminence. Emerent the eminence. Cardinal Doohickey. Or whatever it is. You know, I mean, when I'm in Chicago, remember Cardinal Cody? Remember that name from Chicago? You know, side note. There was a guy up in King James Bible Baptist Church up there in Des Plaines. I no longer, unfortunately, around. Pastor got in some doctrinal problems. But there was a guy there who was saved, and he was from, I think, New York, New Jersey area. And his testimony was this here, that Cardinal Cody molested him when he was a little kid. I believe that. And when he talked about it, he literally shiver. I go, man, sue those guys. You know who I am. Sue those guys. You know, come on. He goes, hey, what though? The Lord used that to get me where I am here today, where I'm saved. So, but he would, you know, that guy there, you know, I remember him dying in Chicago and all this pomp. Hey, he's going to judgment, folks. The eminence Cardinal Cody. You know, doing that over to some kids. Hey, you what though? Hey, judgment's coming. I mean, you know, I mean, he would shiver. Because I mean, imagine a trauma, you're trusting some, your parents to some altar boy stuff and they're doing that kind of stuff. That's just heinous. A little side note. When Arthur Anderson closed down, remember, because of Imran, I had a client who was worked there, and I think it was 1999 it was. I go, hey, what's your biggest line item? You know, she told me she had the Catholic Church as accounting. And I got to remember now, the biggest line item, I think was 200 or 300 million back then for paying off families that had this kind of happening. Think about that, folks. I mean, some of these people probably, good Catholics, they're probably going to church. I mean, they're probably good people in there. They don't know any better. They're putting hard-earned money in. I'm going to put some money in here for the Lord. It's going for that kind of stuff. Isn't it tragic? It's tragic, man. You know? But that's kind of what's going on here with, kind of the opposite, you know, where you got some skills and you're humble about it. It's the queen of grace is humility. Now, I got 7 or 8 points here. I'm going to go through one today because I run out of time. But it's good that we do a recap of these things so you can look at, hey, here's pride. They can get to us in a lot of different ways. I had 15 examples of it, you know, the Lord example. And now let's look at what the scripture is about humility and kind of the both sides of character that we can grow. The soul of contentment, number one. Like Paul knew how to use it in the ministry. Philippians 4:12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and all things. So Paul was a master at these things. And I think a mature Christian knows how to use grace and truth and how to know what humility is and use it as an example. And I'm not going to cover it today because I'm out of time, but I'm going to read it for next time, and I will cover it. Look at Acts 25 and 26, and we'll cover it next time when he stood before Felix and Festus and King Agrippa. You could spend the whole time looking at how he stood before there and how he answered them. Remember the first time when he stood before, I think it was Festus, he kind of knew what was going on. He put him in there for 2 years into, you know, some sort of, I was maybe house arrest, but 2 years went by. And look at how, you know, sometimes people like, you know, they go out maybe street preaching and they put a toothbrush in their pocket. And why? I don't care what says, they're all, you know, I mean, kind of attitude. You know what though? I've been on trip many times. I very rarely ever have a problem because you know why? You know, I'm here to glorify the Lord. And they're looking at me. I may be the only thing people have of a Lord, and I'm not going to back down, but I'm not going to point my bony finger and I don't want to go to jail. You know, I mean, it may come down to that, but you know what? There's a point there. So next time we'll pick it up here, what Paul and how he used grace and humility when he was way in the right, and kind of how the Lord used that and how he glorified the Lord. That's a good principle of not having, and he had a lot of background. He was a Pharisee and all these educations and everything, how he just always pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll pick it up there next time, okay? Questions or comments or anything from anybody? Yes, Jackie. I didn't hear that. I read his book. I read his book, but I don't remember that in the book. That's a possibility. He stopped over for training, you know, and he was in these foreign countries. And he was obviously, knew a lot of these things. Foreign countries, and there's viruses there, and who knows what, and diseases, and obviously your body hasn't adjusted them yet. Sometimes your body is the best way to adjust. He might have got something, but they said he died of spiral meningitis, but maybe that took over. But that's a good book to read if you want to have a real book. Okay. All right, Father in heaven, thank you very much for an opportunity here to just open up the Word of God and look at some examples, especially the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul, and your words that you've given us, recorded, so we can learn and be instructed. And so we thank you for it, Father. May for some way we can, folks here can, relate to these things or or move them away, or they have a problem here, or want to go closer, Lord, let them look at these things and remind them that obviously is your example, and they can be followers of you and be followers of Paul, that we walk with the Lord and glorify you. So we thank you, Father, for this time. Look forward to the preaching and the music this morning. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.